Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, if ye forgive men their trespasses. Now, the word trespass should not scare you. That is when someone crosses the line. They do something offensive. They do something that is wrong. If you forgive men your trespasses, the Bible says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, in verse 15, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then look at the 12th verse there. In the model prayer, the Bible says in Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it's not talking about monetary debt so much as what you owe somebody. When you offend someone, you owe them something. Amen. And when they offend you, you are to forgive them. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, without you, we know we can do nothing. And I pray this morning that you would hide me behind the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, that the word of God would be accurately and properly preached, but most of all, that the Holy Spirit could speak to each person in this room. Lord, help folks to realize that our only agenda is your agenda, the word of God. Help us to clearly communicate it. And today I pray that the will of God would be done in our midst. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Talk about forgiveness just a minute. It's kind of hard to put a real good definition on that. I've gotten lazy in recent years. And sometimes when I don't know the meaning of a word, I pull my phone out and ask my phone, what does this word mean? And it will tell you. And it doesn't do a bad job. Sometimes it does a very good job, but don't trust your phone. A good dictionary will give you some good definitions. Forgiveness is one of those things that we need a nice, concise definition for. And here's my concise definition for forgiveness. Forgiveness is giving up the right to hurt someone else who has hurt you. A dictionary definition of forgiveness would be something like this. It's a change of disposition towards someone who has offended or injured or hurt you so that you are no longer grieved or vindictive over that offense. When we forgive someone, we try to forget. Pure forgiveness would be the point where you could say, I no longer remember the offense. It's as if it never happened. Now, you need to understand something. If you were to go to court and you were to stand before a judge, and let's say you were speeding or you ran a stop sign or whatever, and you said to the judge, would you forgive me? Well, he'd say, yes, we'll forgive you as soon as the fine is paid. Because a judge is bound by law. And the law says that when you do certain things, there are certain consequences. Now, we have a law in the Bible which God binds himself by. We'll talk about that some more in just a minute. But God commands you and I to forgive one another. There are two kinds of forgiveness in this one context. One of them is, and don't let this word scare you, I'll explain it, but unilateral forgiveness. In other words, if someone injures you, you have the right, even though they didn't ask, and I think it's beyond a right, you have the obligation scripturally, even though they didn't ask, you can forgive them. Amen. And I'll validate that with a demonstration. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they never asked for that forgiveness. You can forgive someone who does not ask you for forgiveness. But there's another kind of forgiveness, and that is the kind of forgiveness to where someone says to you, I apologize, please forgive me. And oh, by the way, if you injure someone, the right thing to do is to take care of that. For example, if you take something away from somebody, and then you say, please forgive me for taking that away, you should give it back. And that's just simple forgiveness. Now, if someone had offended me, I'm going to use an illustration this morning as a true story, and I won't tell all the details, but it's not a problem. This morning, Brother Tom Jensen walked in. We pray back here in this back room before Sunday school, and he said to someone else, he said, I want to ask you to forgive me for something. that I did. I misspoke. I said something that I didn't realize was not true, and I want you to forgive me for it. And the other fellow, I think, forgave him, and that's the end of it. Amen? If you had done something to me, and I was offended by what you had done, what would you do to get me to forgive you? You would ask. Amen? It's just that simple. Now, let me show you how outrageous, how unrealistic a lot of religion is today. And I don't want to stay on this rabbit trail too long, but in the Bible, when the word religion occurs, it's almost always a negative connotation. What you need to understand is there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of false religion. There's a lot of false teaching. So if someone came to me and they said, Pastor, I've done something to offend you. Would you forgive me? I would not be inclined to say, I'm not going to forgive you until you go get dipped in water. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to forgive you until you go and you have a special ceremony where you partake of some elements and you pray a prayer. Then I'll forgive you. That wouldn't make sense, would it? I wouldn't say to someone, well, I'll forgive you after you join a certain organization or after you give enough money or after you, that's not what forgiveness is. I have the power to forgive and I do not have to expect you to do anything. In fact, it would be unrealistic for me to do so. There are religions today that will teach you that if you want to be forgiven, you've got to be baptized, or you've got to join some church, or you've got to do some deed in order to be forgiven. Folks, God is in the forgiving business. Amen. And God will forgive you based upon one thing, and that is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid for your sin. Now, one more thought. If someone came to me, let's say, I'll use Brother Aaron Wine back there. Brother Aaron came to me and he said, Pastor, I want you to forgive me for something. I would not say to him, you know, Brother Aaron, I've got a list of people I'm willing to forgive. I've chosen to forgive them before a long time ago, and I've looked, and you aren't on the list. I'm not going to forgive you. He knows what I'm talking about. Wouldn't that be silly? No, I'm willing to forgive anybody that'll ask. Amen? And so is God. There are religions that teach that God will only forgive some people. They got the wrong God. There are religions that teach that they have to go. If somebody wanted me to forgive them, and they went to Brother Mendez and they said, Brother Mendez, would Pastor Schaefer forgive us? He would say, I don't know, go talk to Pastor Schaefer. Because I have not appointed Brother Mendez to be my mediator. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And when you go to him, you're going to God. And when you ask for forgiveness, you go straight to the one that you need to have that forgiveness from. Amen. Amen. Now, that's all just common sense. It's also Bible. There were people in the Bible, they were forgiven, they never were baptized. There were people in the Bible that were forgiven, they never joined a church. There were people in the Bible that were forgiven, they never had participated in the Lord's Supper. There were people in the Bible that were forgiven, and there was no special list of who got to be forgiven. They simply came to God and said, forgive me. I want you to know something today. If you would come to God and ask him to forgive you, understanding that that is based upon the fact that Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead, God would forgive you. Say, Pastor, what if I never got baptized? You'd still be forgiven. What if I never went to a priest? You'd still be forgiven. What if I never did join a church? You'd still be forgiven. And sadly, most of the religion in the world today is not telling the truth. They want you to do it their way. We want to do it the Bible way. In Matthew chapter 6, there is a connection between forgiveness and prayer. When we forgive someone, we give up the right to hurt them for hurting us. We forget the offense whenever possible. We act as if the offense had not taken place. And I mention one more thing. From time to time, as a pastor, I've had people come to me and they'll say, I'm finding it impossible to forgive somebody for something. I just want you to know something. It is possible to forgive. It'd be sort of like me saying, let's say I stole Brother Aaron's truck. And I'm finding it hard to give your truck back to you. No, just give it back. I can do that if I will. And I've had people ask me, what do I do if someone won't forgive me? Well, you forgive them anyway. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a connection between forgiveness and prayer. And I'm going to show you that briefly if I could. First of all, look back again where we were a while ago in Matthew chapter 6. Sometimes people will offend us. They might not be honest with us. They might not do their best. They might not do what they said they would do. They might injure us. They might slander us. They might say something to someone else about us, or they might hurt someone that we love, or they might disagree with us, or they might not do things the way we want them done, or they might take something from us, or they might harm us in some way. All of these are things that need forgiveness, and I could name many more without trying very hard. There are things that people will do to us. I will tell you plainly, if you want to have a good life and if you want to have a good walk with God, you need to be in the forgiving business just like God is. It's a daily thing. So, Pastor, yesterday somebody did, well, forgive them. And by the way, there are going to be offenses. The Bible says offenses will come. So forgiving people ought to be a pattern in our life. And it ought to be one of those habits that you develop, or one of those muscles that you build up, to where when someone hurts you, you just forgive them. I want you to know something. Most of the time when someone hurts you and you don't forgive them, just in case you didn't know this, they probably could care less. You're the one that's hurt when you won't forgive. When you won't forgive somebody, you're the one that holds a grudge, and you watch people like that. Their faces turn sour. Their disposition becomes bitter. They become difficult or impossible to be around. Be a forgiving person. Aren't you glad God is a forgiving God? And the Bible makes that so very clear. So when someone offends you, there is an instruction here, and I'll read you some more verses to go with it. He says, and you don't need to turn there, but it's in your bulletin if you want to read it from there. In Mark 11, 25, it says, when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. There's two thoughts there. First of all, think of forgiveness and prayer like the key and the car. When you get in the car, you need a key. And you get in the car, maybe the key to open the door, but I'm thinking more about the idea of starting the engine. We spent this weekend lending our cars to our children who flew in from out of town, and they all flew back home early this morning so they can be back at work tomorrow, and they're going to the East Coast. But as we would loan them our car, they would say, where's the key? We had my son called me yesterday. It was half an hour before the ceremony was supposed to begin. He's sitting in the driveway at my house, and he cannot get the key to turn in the car. And I said, oh, I've done that before. Jiggle the steering wheel. Yep, it started right up, and he was on his way. You ought to think of forgiveness like the key to the prayer. When you begin to pray, forgive. That's what he says, isn't it? He says, very Mark 11, 25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Aught against any, a little thing, it doesn't matter what it is, anybody, we forgive. It feels good to forgive people. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, it's just not fair. You forgot something. You're not the one in charge of fair, God is. I'm glad I'm not in charge of fair. That's a big job. That's not fair, Pastor. I know, but I'm not the one responsible for that. God's the one that takes care of fair. You say, it's not fair that something happened to somebody. God knows that. God's in the justice business also, and there will be justice one day. And oh, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ paid for those sins. So he took, it was not fair he died on the cross. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5, became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It wasn't fair for him to have to die on the cross, was it? He did nothing. But we did. He didn't deserve it, but we did. And God, you know the verse in John 3:16, he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son to pay for our offenses. Folks, that's called the gospel. The gospel is not some man standing here in a white robe claiming to be a priest feeding you bread and wine. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not somebody getting in that baptistry back there and being dipped in the water or sprinkled. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not joining a church. The gospel is not reforming yourself and suddenly becoming a good person. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that alone is what's necessary for salvation.
Amen.
The Bible makes it very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A couple of more verses, if you would. The Bible says in Matthew 6:15, you're there. We've read that one. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you ever think about, of all the times people offend you, how often do you offend God? How often do you think thoughts you shouldn't think? How often do you say things you shouldn't say? How often do you hurt other people, take things from them? It is not that we're deliberate about this. Just on our daily course of action, occasionally, we're going to injure somebody, whether it's malicious or not. Hopefully, you've come to that place to where you're not malicious about it, to where it is unintentional. But even unintentionally, I've said things that were wrong. Last night, we were at the reception, and I made an offhand comment about one of my sons. And he came to me later, and he said, I wish you hadn't have said that. That was kind of offensive. I was just trying to be funny. And I failed, obviously. But when you do little things in life, sometimes you offend people. I had a man that worked with me in Salt Lake City with our youth group. His name was Rick Lee. He's the one that just recently had surgery in Tennessee we were praying for. And some of the people in the room were here there. I think Stephanie was probably there. We had a big end of year activity for our young people. We all dressed up. We had good food and we had cake. And it just happened to be Rick's birthday. And I thought, you know, we should do something for his birthday. And then my funny bone kicked in and I should have known better. And I made a birthday cake for him. And it said, Happy Birthday, Baldy. He didn't think it was nearly as funny as I did. And after the event, he came to me and he said, I just want you to know I'm not going to work with you anymore. And you know what happened? I asked him to forgive me and he did.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it ought to work. Forgiveness is the oil that lubricates the machine that we're all part of. It keeps us going. And when you won't forgive, you cause that machine to run poorly or sometimes even to stop. The Lord Jesus Christ forgives us for our sins. He says, if you will forgive, your Father will forgive you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when you offended him yesterday by whatever you said or did or how you didn't represent him right or when you said something that offended him, that he's willing to forgive? Now don't misunderstand me. Salvation is a forgiveness that is a one-time coming to God to forgive you for the sins of your life, and he will forgive you for that. But there's also a relationship we maintain with him. Just a couple of quick things, and I won't be long here, and I'll show you why do we need to forgive others. Look at verse 14. That very first little three-letter word is the word for. And that word for in that sentence means because, not in order to. He says because. And so now I look back at verses 9 through 13 to see what he's talking about. And let me read those verses to you. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So he's going to teach us how to pray. I could spend much more time on that than I'll be able to today. We'll talk about that some other time, but let's keep going. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many of you learned that in Sunday school as a child? My hand is up. We know the Lord. We call that the Lord's Prayer. It's really technically a model prayer. This is not a prayer the Lord needs to pray because he never did sin. But it's a pattern for our prayer. And I'll talk to you about that some other time. You may know the story of the sinking of the Titanic. And when the Titanic sank, one of the very last boats that got off the Titanic was a collapsible lifeboat. They had just kind of put it there on a whim. And when the ship sank, that lifeboat wound up in the ocean upside down, and a bunch of men crawled onto it. And after they got situated, one of them said, we ought to pray. And they all recited the Lord's Prayer. Now, if you've ever recited the Lord's Prayer, that's your business, and I have done so as well. But this is not a word-for-word recipe, just always pray these words. It's a pattern for prayer, and it teaches us how to pray. And again, I can't get into all that today, but I'll show you a few simple things about it. Let me look at that. Why do we need to forgive is the question. And look at verse 9. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." First of all, we're praying to a father. If you're a born-again Christian, you have a father in heaven. Amen? And we all know that we should honor our father. We should do those things that please our father. We should trust our father. We should listen to our father. And so when we pray to our father in heaven, since he is a forgiving God, we should be a forgiving people. I want you to know that when you refuse to forgive, you dishonor your father. It's just that simple. He is a forgiving God. His mercy endures forever. You know what mercy is? Mercy is when you do not give someone the punishment that they do deserve. A forgiveness. Now, I mentioned before the law. Remember that? Someone says, "Pastor, the judge makes me pay a fine. How can God forgive me?" Because there's a law in the Bible as well, isn't there? And there is. And the reason God can forgive you, pardon the simplistic illustration, but because Jesus paid the fine. Let me say that more clearly. The Lord Jesus Christ died for that so that you and I would not have to. So he can forgive us. And he will forgive us. And he wants to forgive us. Someone says, well, Pastor, don't I have to do anything else? We've been through that already. No, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's just that simple. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And if you read Romans chapter 10, it's just that clear. Pastor, why are there so many people teaching so many other things? Because the devil's a very busy devil. He's got a lot of false information out there. And it's not a question of whether or not the rest of the religions are right or wrong. The question is this: are you willing to go to God? And religion is a man-made thing. Forgiveness is God's plan. We need to forgive because we have a forgiving Father. Second thing, look at verse 10. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, wouldn't it be great? This is surely a rhetorical question. Wouldn't it be great if God's will was done on earth? Look at all the wickedness. We talk about all the things we see in the news, the murder, the offenses against children. You say, why would God allow all of that? Folks, that didn't come because of God. It came because of man. And he's going to put a stop to it one day and punish those that are guilty. And he does. He is a God who does care for the innocent. But in heaven, God's will is done. Can't wait to get there. In eternity, God's will is done. Looking forward to that one too. On earth, God's will is not done, but that's not to say we shouldn't pray for that. Now, if I pray for God's will, then that must mean I should want to do God's will. Amen? Amen. And if it is God's will for me to forgive, then I should forgive. Lord, I want your will done, but I want to keep Aaron's truck. That doesn't work that way. It's, Lord, I want your will done, and so I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be right if I can. And I am going to forgive other people. And just say it one more time in case you didn't hear me the first time. When I forgive somebody, what I'm saying is, God, that offense that someone committed towards me, I no longer want to injure them for that. I no longer want to do anything to them for that. You take this offense. And then you don't say, now, God, get them. It doesn't work that way. No, I give that to God. And here's a lesson I learned a long time ago. When I'm having trouble forgiving somebody, it works great. Try it. If you can't forgive somebody as well as you would like, stop and pray and ask God to bless them. And tell God you forgive them. Lord, I want you to know I forgive this person who hurt me. And Lord, I'd ask you to bless them and do something good for them and be kind to them. What's this all about? Folks, at the end of the day, we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified. So you say, well, there's this Christian, and this Christian's not right with God, and this Christian keeps doing bad things to me. You know, what I'd like to see happen is that Christian get right with God. And get so right with God that they led a godly life and saw a lot of people get saved and step into eternity and get more rewards than I do. That'd be a great thing. Why do I need to get even with anybody? Forgiveness is asking for God's will, and God's will is that we forgive. And so when we ask for his will, we ask him to forgive, and we forgive as well. There's a third one here. This one's pretty simple. Look at verse 11. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, you may understand in the context of this prayer that it is something that we would ask. Somebody asked me one time, when should you pray? My answer is, when would you like to eat? Would you wait until 7 o'clock at night to eat, or do you want to eat in the morning? Give us this day our daily bread. Sounds like a morning prayer, amen? And that bread is something that we need today. Someone says, Pastor, I got a whole freezer full of food. Why should I ask God to give me some food? Are you sure it's still there? And what about, you know, the fact that God said to do it? But we can trust God day by day, can't we? Sometimes we get awfully busy asking God to give us the rest of our life's needs today so we can just sit back and do nothing. God deals with us day by day. We forgive day by day as well. But I would say this, if you want to eat, forgive people. You see the connection? He says when you stand praying, first you forgive. That's the key. You put the key in the car, you start the car. You forgive, you start the prayer. And now God answers the prayer. Say, Pastor, I refuse to forgive. God will deal with you differently if you refuse to forgive. He will not leave you or forsake you. He'll deal with you differently. Some of us here have young children. Some of us, many of us have had young children. How do you deal with a stubborn child? Differently than with a cooperative one, don't you? When the stubborn child wants something, you deal with them differently. When the compliant, peaceful, helpful child wants something, and the stubborn child wants something, which one's going to get it first? Which one's going to probably get more generosity? You're so busy dealing with the stubbornness in the stubborn child, you can't be a blessing to them like you can to the child that is peaceful. All of you know, I have 4 grandchildren. 3 of them live here in town. One of them lives in Florida, and we had not seen her since she was a little tiny, tiny thing. And so we got to see her this last couple of days, and she's now 3. She'll be 4 in July. And the best way I can describe her is this. She talks just like Minnie Mouse. She's got this little sweet voice. And yesterday, well, first I'll just back up a step. She never loses her temper. I haven't seen her anyway. She's just really quiet and calm, and she's just so happy and peaceful. Yesterday, unintentionally, someone took one of her toys out of the house. And some children would go out and bop them on the head and take it back. She came running in, and she was just crushed. The toy is gone. Mom, what do I do? And about that time, the offender realized it wasn't their toy and brought it back. She was just waiting for someone to help her. Couldn't you and I do that with God? Say, I'll handle this myself. Yeah, you'll mess it up. What if you were to say, God, help me. I don't know what to do. Now, interesting illustration. The person that took the toy didn't even mean to. It was just, I'll pick it up and walk out the door. It's a toy. It must be mine, you know. And at the end of this story, they this is not my toy. And they brought it back. The offense wasn't even intentional. When you walk up and whop somebody because they hurt you and they didn't do it on purpose, now we got a big problem. Why not take it to God? Amen? Amen. And just ask God, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. Your Father in heaven can get your toy back. He can take care of you. Amen? And by the way, you may not need that. That's another story for another day. But the fact is you can trust him, can't you? I got to finish up. The best reason to forgive when you pray is because we need to be forgiven. Look at verse 13, or verse 12 and 13. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. There's a whole message in verse 13 we'll look at some other day. But look at verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That little word, as, is a very powerful word. It means like. God, forgive me the same way I forgive other people. Can you pray that prayer? Or would that be a prayer that would get you in trouble? Lord, forgive me like I forgive other people, only I don't. Yeah. It also means, it implies that I already have forgiven them. It's already happened. God's ready to forgive. Maybe he's waiting on us to forgive first. I'm going to be real direct. Is there somebody you need to forgive? Say, Pastor, you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. God knows what they did. He didn't say forgive unless it's this serious. You say, Pastor, you don't know how many times they've done it. You need to read the book of Luke. One of the disciples asked the Lord, how often should I do this? 7 times? The Lord said, no, 70 times 7. Now, if anybody here is keeping track of how many times somebody did something and it gets to 490, let me know, okay? In the first place, you've got a problem. You're counting. The point is this. It doesn't matter how many times. It doesn't matter how serious. Is there somebody you need to forgive? Pastor, you don't know what they did. You don't know how often they did it. You don't know what they're like. It doesn't really matter. God knows all that, doesn't he? And if you would give it to God, he can take care of it. And he may take care of it in a way that is such a blessing that you would just hate yourself if you tried to handle it yourself. And then let me finish with this thought. God wants to forgive us. The Bible says this, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance and forgiveness are tied together just like that. Repentance is when I wished I hadn't done it. I wished I hadn't taken your truck, Mr. Wine. Here's your truck back. I filled it up with gas. I'm sorry. I know it was a terrible inconvenience to you. Would you forgive me? By the way, I have never taken his truck, okay? This is an illustration. And he would say, yes, Pastor, I forgive you. That's the same thing God wants to do. He's not going to ask me to go get baptized or join some organization or participate in some meal or check his list to see if I'm on it. He's just going to forgive me. It's the same thing God will do for you. I don't know what other religions are teaching or other denominations are teaching or whatever, but I know what the Bible says. And if what they're teaching doesn't agree with this book, I'll just tell you they're wrong. God wants to forgive you. And today, because Christ paid for your sins, you can be forgiven. Let's all stand and pray.